I want to be free. I want to be me. Sounds great? Free to be me. Gene says, yes, it sounds great, free to be me. But what does it mean to you? What would it look like? Free to be me. I want to be free. I want to be me. Traveling, friends, music, sport, hobbies, a great reputation. I want to be free. I want to be me. But could you do even better? What about becoming the person that God intended you to be? Wow. That's quite a challenge, right? But with God's help, it can become reality. Now, it may involve getting top marks in your exams, doing well in your career, or excelling in sport. It may involve learning to drive, getting married, or finding a home of your own. But it might not. It really might not. Becoming the person God intended you to be is more about being and less about doing. It's about being transformed on the inside. The Bible calls this transformation being born again. And it really doesn't matter whether you're a good person or a bad person, rich or poor, young or old, all of us, we need to be transformed on the inside. We've got two case studies to think about this morning. I know, Peter, you love case studies. We've got two case studies this morning. We've got Zach and we've got Nick. Sometimes people ask me, where do you get all the names from? Well, we got Zach and Nick this morning. Is that okay? Can you cope with that? Zach and Nick. Two very different types of people, but they both needed to be transformed on the inside. Tell me, what professions or ways of life are despised in the UK today? What professions or ways of life are deemed to be part of the problem? What professions or ways of life are deemed to make a few people richer and everyone else poorer? Can you shout out some of them, please? Politicians. Say again? Tax collectors. Bankers. We had the banking crisis, yes. Others? Drug dealers, thank you. Others? Estate agents. Do you know what? I mean, they do get blamed, don't they? And it's not just estate agents. It's letting agents, and it's the buy-to-let landlords. I'm not knocking them, but I just know that a lot of people say it's all their fault. I don't actually think it is, but, you know. Well, Zach worked for HMRC. So who was it said tax collectors? There you go. Zach worked for HMRC, and it was probably because of his job and all the stuff he got involved in on the side that he lived a very lonely life. How many UK taxpayers resent our money going to the EU? Raise your hands, please. How many UK taxpayers resent our laws being made by someone else? I've got a few more hands for that one. And I didn't even ask for hands. Okay. Now, you see, Zach worked for the tax office, and the taxes went to someone else, the taxes were not benefiting the people who paid for them, and as if that were not enough, Zach got involved in some kind of a scam. Now, I don't understand how these things work. I'd have to ask someone like Mark to explain. Perhaps he understands, I don't know, his computers and so on. But I'm not saying he's involved in scams, don't get me wrong. No. I'm just saying how you can actually do it, because I don't understand how they got away with it. But there was some kind of scam. I mean, they did explain it on Newsnight, but I didn't really get it. I mean, do you get that? I mean, Newsnight shouldn't be on at such a late hour anyway. They explain all that stuff and you're trying to remember. As I understand, there was a whole group of them, and they were all doing it. I think that was the thing. You see, they were all doing it. It was some kind of scam, and I don't understand, because I don't understand how they didn't get found out, but they were siphoning money off and putting it into other, I don't know if it was offshore accounts or what, but they were doing it somehow. And I think, as I say, I don't really understand, but I think the point was that they were all involved. And that somehow, they were kind of covering each other's backs. But what I kind of get is that they were covering each other's backs, but they weren't actually friends. I mean, they knew each other, but they weren't really friends. They were almost kind of in competition with each other, but they were also kind of covering each other's backs, kind of. And the weird thing was this, that whilst everyone knew it was happening, and even some people who were not actually involved, but they knew it was happening, no one did anything to stop it. Now, that was a weird thing. And as I say, it was part of the culture. Part of the culture of the industry. I think we've got to get this, that some industries have culture, and they have sort of like cultural inherent sins, if you like, you know? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been to a rock concert? Yeah? Or a show, or a gig, or a sports event? How many of you have ever been to see a celebrity? I'm not going to ask Jean who she went to see. No. Now, when you went to this event, whatever event it was, did you go alone, or did you go with friends or with family? You went with friends, right, or family? There's some places you wouldn't go with your family, isn't there? You know, but we normally go with someone else. Poor old Zach. When there was a gig in his town, as far as I can understand, he went on his own. As I said, it was all these people that he kind of. They were covering each other's backs, but they weren't really friends. And when the gig came to town, he went on his own. And the weirdest thing, there was this bit, sort of like in the middle of the event, where the celebrity was actually kind of talking to members of the crowd. And, you know, like they pick someone at random from the crowd, you know, and they start talking to them. And the celebrity took an interest in Zach, started talking to him. And then, because the celebrity was talking to Zach, some of the other people, because although it was a celebrity event, it was quite a small town, so they were kind of, people knew each other. People started, you know, muttering and mumbling and saying bad things about Zach. People who knew about the scams that he was involved in. I don't know, I'm just... what I've heard, that, you know, they were, I don't know the exact words, the sort of thing, you know, like loser, parasite, you know, those kind of things, but probably a lot more colourful language than that. They said he was bad. And they said that if the celebrity knew who he was talking to, the celebrity would not want to be seen to be associating with that person, because, you know, reputation and so on. But then the weirdest thing happened. The celebrity said to Zach, when the gig is over, perhaps I can come round yours. Isn't that weird? when the gig is over, perhaps I can come round yours. Now you're telling me it's a ridiculous story. It would not happen. The security guys would not allow the celebrity to go to someone's flat, to someone's bedsit or whatever, you know. It's a ridiculous story, but you see, it's based on a real life event. We find in the Bible a celebrity who met a guy who'd been involved in all kinds of scams. Can we read it? Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus. Because Jesus was passing that way. Sometimes Jesus went to lonely places. Sometimes Jesus was all alone, but right now he's in a crowd. And that's why Zac has to climb the tree to see through and over the crowd. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people, they saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I want to give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay them back." And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I want to be free. I want to be me. Sounds great, yeah? Free to be me. Traveling, friends, music, sport, hobbies, an amazing reputation. I want to be free. I want to be me. I want to be the one that people look at and envy. But could you do even better? What about becoming the person that God intended you to be? What does that mean? It may involve getting top marks in your exams, doing well in your career, or excelling in sport. It may involve learning to drive, getting married, or finding a home of your own. But honestly, my friends, it might not. Becoming the person that God intended you to be is less about doing and more about being transformed on the inside. The Bible calls this being born again. And the amazing thing is that everyone needs to be born again. Good or bad, you know what? That definition doesn't even exist in God's vocabulary. Not really, when he looks at people, because we're all sinners. Rich or poor? Well, we're all poor, aren't we? When we stand before God. Young or old? Well, none of us have got more than a passing shadow existence on this earth. And then we face judgment. We all need to be transformed on the inside. And what a transformation we've just seen in the life of Zacchaeus. Transformed on the inside because he met Jesus. Because Jesus took an interest in Zac. Because Zac welcomed Jesus into his home. I believe into his home, into his life, into his heart, you could say, the very core of his being. And I believe on the day that Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus, he was born again. And think about it, at last, all of the lying and the deceiving, all of the pretending, all of the being rejected, all of that weird life of being the one that people envied and the one that people despised as well. Envied because of his wealth, but despised because of the lifestyle. Zac became a brand new person. A brand new person on the inside. And it changed the outside too. We can all be transformed by God. He can change us on the inside. He can transform what we call the real me inside of the visible me. And if you ask him, you too can be born again. We've got the baptism service tonight. We're celebrating five people who have been born again. Have you been born again? Now, before Zac met Jesus, everyone thought of Zac as a bad person, right? Pretty much everyone thought of him as a bad person before he met Jesus, before he was born again. So probably no one would have disagreed that Zac needed to change. But what about Nick? Do you remember I said we'd look at Zac and Nick? What about Nick? You see, Nick needed to be born again too, but that surprised a lot of people. In fact, it even surprised Nick. You see, whereas Zac was widely known as a bad person, Nick was generally considered to be a very good person. But he still needed to change. He still needed to be born again. Zac had grown up in his local church. Come on, guys, he went to 1-2-3 as a child. And I understand he was very well behaved. When he was a teenager, he started to help on the PA desk. That's this one, yeah? The PA desk. And in fact, some years later, I know it's not PA, but some years later, it was him who suggested a changeover. Do you remember they used to have those things there were called overhead projectors? You remember those? And it was him who suggested, why don't we now go over to a laptop and a projector? It was him who suggested that. And he helped in the Sunday school, and the kids loved him. And then he became a deacon for a while in his church. And then he became an elder. But the weirdest thing was this. He did not really know Jesus. He did not really love Jesus. He did not get the whole saved by grace thing. He served where he could. He was always trying to do the right thing, always trying to earn his way into favor with God. But you see, inside, there was a void. He had never really given himself to Jesus. He had never been born again. And in a way, I want you to understand this, my friends. In a way, it was harder for him than it was for Zach. You see, with Zach, everyone knew he was bad and that he needed changing. But with Nick, everyone assumed that he was okay. But then, one day, Nick met the real Jesus for himself. Can we find Nick in the Bible? Let's have a look. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees, a man called Nick, or Nicodemus to be precise. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." How? How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Think about the wind. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going to, right? So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." How? "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher, right? You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. "And do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." And Jesus continues, and he says this, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And the bit that people had to get in the day of Nicodemus, and in our day too, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I want to be free. I want to be me. Sounds great, yeah? Reputation, hobbies, sport, music, friends, traveling. I want to be free, I want to be me, but could you do even better? What about becoming the person that God intended you to be? What does that mean? For sure, it's a real challenge, but with God's power, with God's grace, with God's love, it can become reality. Becoming the person that God intended you to be is less about doing, more about being. It's about being transformed on the inside. And the Bible calls this being born again. Everyone needs to be born again. Did you see that? Zach needed to be born again. Nick needed to be born again. One was considered generally as being very good. The other was considered as being very bad. But actually, when they met Jesus, they both needed to change. They both needed to be born again. They both needed to receive Jesus. They both needed to get it, that they couldn't do anything on their own, for themselves, by themselves. It was about embracing Jesus. Did you notice what Jesus said to Nicodemus towards the end of their conversation? Jesus said this: just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. Do you know what Jesus is referring to? Jesus is talking about an incident that we find in Numbers chapter 21. The people who were with Moses at the time, they had been grumbling and complaining, as they so often did. They had been grumbling and complaining, as we so often do. And as a result of their grumbling and their complaining, it says that the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. The snakes bit the people, and many of the Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." I think the key words there, my friends, anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. But to look at it, you have to turn your head in that direction. Is that correct? If the snake is on the pole over there and you refuse to look that way, you will not be healed. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Jesus said to Nicodemus, back to the Nicodemus account, Jesus said to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. The snake in the wilderness was lifted up on a pole. Jesus, the Son of Man, was lifted up on a cross. Just as the people had to look at the snake on the pole to be healed, so in our generation, it is not enough to hear about Jesus crucified. We must believe in him. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life. We need to look to Jesus. We need to believe in him. We need to believe in his solution for sin. When a good and loving God came back to planet Earth and lived amongst his people, when Jesus came, so many people hardened their hearts towards him. In our world today, when people hear about the God of the universe, the God of creation, the God who set everything in motion and gave a lot of responsibility to us to look after our planet, so many people see it to be interfering when God wants to come back and live, be with us. For some people, even hearing the name God, hearing the name Jesus, they're filled with that sense of condemnation. But what does Jesus say? God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We say that God wants to set us free to become the people that he intends for us to be. Today is the day for you to become. Today is the day for you to become the person that God intended you to be. Give yourself to Jesus, and you, like Zach, like Nick, you too can be born again. Amen.